And today the Torah weighs on the Parashas Devarim, Primo Hezbollah.
He will give me a shiur next week.
Right, you know what we say.
Quick start.
We got?
Yeah.
Yeah. So quick start of what we talked about last time. Last time we spoke about the kingdom of taking a fruit of vet on Shabbos. Take an apple for your vet on Shabbos. We said that the Torah is no Isser Refuah.
How are you?
Yeah, cool. There's no Isser Refuah.
How are you?
On Shabbos, on an animal. There's no position. So once you give them tablets, you ever have to give an animal, you have to give them tablets too. The Shabbos, can you go further? Can you actually carry the dog, let's say, to the vet? So we spoke last time that really is Kiddush actually, that all animals are mocked on Shabbos. So even though really it's hard to understand why is it worse than a stone? The person designates a stone to use. Why should a pet be worse? The mice are possibly, most possible say that pets are mocked on Shabbos. The mouth of the is a little bit. But we made Gezeira. Since most animals haven't got used to it, we make Gezeira that this animal also, even though it's a pet, designates it the mice is mocked. The bottom line is that all pets are mocked.
You for the urine.
Yeah, to everyone actually. You spoke about last time, most of the got sure about, I don't know, what's on a blind person, who's got a dog with him, a particular dog. That's more quality, that's a shamsha person, maybe that's really better. I can't remember what he says. That's an interesting child. Generally speaking, we take on that animals are moksa. Even so, the Shabbat says that mokum sabarechayim, it could be you could move moksa. In one place, the Shabbat says only mokum hefset. There has to be a loss involved. It's a financial loss, prior substantial loss. So a goldfish jumps out, according to that, a mushroom goldfish jumps out of a bowl. There's not a financial loss for that. So then the chayvon couldn't put it back in on Shabbos. Others are made to start the tzar
lechayim. Is it tzar lechayim or fish?
It's not the tzar lechayim or fish. It's not the tzar lechayim or fish. I said, what pastor says, any animal that wiggles around doesn't look very comfortable. What? It's not the tzar lechayim. And therefore, that lechera is, if you allow this heter.
You allow a new ball, they should jump into it?
What?
Without touching? You allow a new ball?
Yes. Yes. If you have it, Master, when that Master come out, it'll jump in anyway.
Jump
around. Yeah, so I said, last time, you should share the Master. We laugh at each other. Nice that someone told me you had a dog, and said, it was a shy of the Master. Told me went to the doctor, we met on Friday. And the vet said he gave him antibiotics for Friday. I'm sorry, I'm really lack of urine. And he said to him that if it gets worse, he has to go intravenous. He has to bring it in on Shabbos. That was a shame. He asked me, I said, what did you do on Friday afternoon? What do you know what to do? Is he allowed to take it? Is he allowed to go? Is he allowed to get a taxi to take the doctor to the water? Actually, interestingly enough, when Matia, I'm really lack of eating for the for Sabalechayim. Yes, the Rav Shulchanov. Shulchanov speaks about a cow that needs to be milked. It's in Shin Hei. And Chava says that someone's got a farm. He's got a cow there. And I asked the farmer once, I said, they get up early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, why didn't you get up at 9? So, he said, the cows have to be milked twice a day. And I said, there's a pattern how they go. They have to be milked in this way. So they have to start early in the morning and afterwards. Actually, if someone owns a farm, the leadership guy's got a farm, loads of cows, so how do you milk a cow on Shabbos? We spoke about this actually before, quite a long time ago.
The kibbutz,
anywhere. Yiddish farmers in that soil, what do they do? So the Shulchanah, speaking about in the olden times, we didn't have what we've got now, but in the olden times they has, it says there, Mamshah's case, Mutzad loyim ala nochvi, lachroi behem to Shabbos. You can ask a goy to milk your cow on Shabbos.
And you use them?
Yeah, not on Shabbos, it's books on Shabbos actually, but you can use ourselves. Shachor, Metzara, it's an Isra, and become a Shuk Tzalachayim, Chas is called, because it's Tzalachayim, Tzalachayim, Shachor, Metzara, a Cholov also going by you, and that Cholov is also on that day, but the Maisa, it's Mutter after Shabbos. So you can do an Isra to the Raisa, but not on Tzalachayim. So animals in distress, you can ask a Goy to help you out.
You haven't got a Goy.
Oh, yeah. So now Shabbos, you haven't got a Goy, my cow. So the Maaser there, possibly give different eitzes. One eitz is, what's the malacha here of by a cow? The malacha is milking. What malacha is that? What's that?
Dosh.
That's the eitz of threshing. You're extracting what's inside out. So the Maaseh many Rishonim hold, most Rishonim hold this, that if it's Honech Le'ibud, if you milk, and the milk just goes down the drain, that's an Isra'bon. So B'mokum Tzah Malechayim, many Poskim allow this Eitzah, of milking and letting it just run down the drain, or you put in a vat some bleach. So when the milk goes into the vat, the whole milk's useless.
It's called Tashkis.
It's not Maltasar, you do it for Tzorich. It's only Maltasar, you do it for Tzorich. You can't milk it. So in order to alleviate the pain of the cow, you have to do that, but you have to waste it. Nowadays, the possum say, it's much more easier, since we've got time switches, you can set the milk parlour, let's say, for example, the cow can milk at 6 o'clock in the morning. And what you do is you bring the cows at 10:06, you hook it up with a machine to the udders, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, the machine goes on with the time switch to start milking. You've done nothing. You just plug it in through a grommer. That's the way to do it. At 10 past 6, a quarter past 6, it switches off. You pull it out off the cow, make it all go out, and take the next lot in. And at 25 past 6, the next lot goes on. So now, with the time switch, so that's what you do nowadays in the milking. That doesn't help with the dogs. The mice, to get a dog to take to get a goy to take the dog to the vet, that will show me later. Okay, that's what we said last time. Right, now the next shot is very interesting. Can you ask a goy to buy sexual car? I say that many years ago I was speaking to someone actually, he works in cars. See, I said to him, where's to buy a car? He said he goes to auctions actually. So I said, when are the auctions? So he told me, oh, someone on Shabbos. So I said, what do you do? How do you buy a car on Shabbos? He said, it's got no problem. He's got a goy who works for him, and the goy goes to auction to buy the car for him. Is that alright?
No,
it's shut. Not sure, it work. He's
buying for you a car and shop. Yeah.
Why is that Muslim? Well, it's a problem actually. It's a problem. He's buying for you, your shiach. He's buying, he's doing a malach on shabbos. He's buying the marriage. What? You can't buy and sell the shabbos. You can't ask a marriage. So before we come into this thing, which is an interesting notion of this thing, like asking a boy to do,
unless he gets percentage. If he gets percentage of the car, then yes. He's doing it for himself.
He's still your shiach, my friends.
He's doing it for himself.
All right. Can you ask a goy to fix your car on Shabbos for you? You've got to pay for it.
You can't. Why is that not different?
It doesn't work. Because the fact that you're paying doesn't make it mutter. So since you're full time, it doesn't help this. It's not a heter. To pay for the job doesn't make it that he's doing it for himself, and that's not a heter. You've got points in the thing. He's asking questions of car. Ask it every time you pay, you do it for himself. The Chazal didn't allow that case. It didn't allow you to pay for a job. You can't do a lawful and Shabbos and take a faith. So let's start with the beginning. What happens over here, the Moshe, about how it works exactly. There is an Issa to employ a goy on Shabbos for you. So something you can't do. Generally speaking, there's two types of workers you've got. You've got a kaplan and a scheduling. A kaplan is a guy who gets paid for the job. I was about to say, that was a scheduling. A scheduling is more common. He gets paid per hour and he's free to do what he wants. He's your employer. That's what I'm talking about. The jobs that we know are generally kaplanas. That means, for example, if I go to a dry cleaner and I give my clothes to be washed, that guy is a kaplan. He has accepted on himself a job. He's got to clean the garments and he's going to charge me wherever he is, £10. It's true, he works his great hour, how it's going to take him and everything, but he is paid for a fixed job. A shoemaker is the same thing. You go to a shoemaker is also, he's got a fixed job to do. You sell your shoes and a new heel put on. So he says, right, he works out, he's going to charge you. He's a kaplan, that means he's working for himself. He's not really your chef. We don't consider your chef. He's his worker, and he can decide when he wants to do the job. He has to give me a finished product. Who has it? A car mechanic. All these people, most people, all like that. You give a car to a mechanic, and he asks to fix your car for you. It's true, he works out how much he's going to charge you, how long it's going to take, in hours, how much the piece is. But generally speaking, he has to give you an end product. If he doesn't provide you an end product, you're going to pay him. If he can't get the goods, he can't get the thing working, you might have to pay him. If the guy can't fix your shoes for you, you don't pay him. He's got an end job to do to produce the goods repaired. That is a carbon. Carbon is much more lenient. Such a person like that, if you give him, Shulchan Aruch says, that's a lock in Shulchan Aruch, ration and basic things, if you give him an item, Erev Shabbos, ration and basic base, Motza a little bit of the clothes in your life to give your clothes to a laundrette or a tannery Somer Chashika, even near to dark, even near to Shabbos coming in, I'm telling you, we'd like the goods next week sometime. You don't tell him, obviously, the apostles, we can't crack it. You must tell him, you know, our first straight thing on Motzei Shabbos. Because then you're telling me to work on Shabbos. You're limiting him that you've got a long Shabbos. If I give it to him, Shabbos comes in, let's say at 6 o'clock, at 5 to 6, I go in the shop and say, right, I need the first thing on Motzei Shabbos. Now, that's very problematic. The only time he can do that job for you is clear he has to go on Shabbos. That's never allowed. That's the Mamish, that's the Shukhoi, and that is not allowed. If I give it to him on Friday, and I tell him I'd like my goods next week sometime, he says, no problem. That's mutter. I might tell me, I must tell you, sir, I'm probably gonna do it tomorrow, he says. No problem. That's what when he decides to do it, you've got no problem with that. If he decides to do it on Shabbos, you're not going to stop him. And if you go past him on Dre, you see him taking your clothes and go on Shabbos, you're not going to stop him. He's a completely freelance worker, he's nothing to do with you. What he does is completely mutter. Again, if you restrict him, that's much worse. That's a big shy. You tell me what's on Monday morning, first thing, that's it. Now, if the laundrette's not open on Sunday, so the chayyah, that's really like telling him to do work on Shabbos. Unless you could say they're coming on Sunday.
It's a choice.
But the thing is, first of all, someone, if he never ever does it, that's first of all, if someone's employed by someone else, then I think it's not a choice to come on Sunday. The shop's open on Sunday morning. You're right, you have to know, a car mechanic could be his choice if he wants to work on Sunday. That could be. Even that I'm not so sure about, because nicely he wants a day off. He doesn't normally, he's not advertising to open on Sunday. Could be, if you could come in and do it, possibly. But someone's working in a wrong dress or a shoemaker, he's got a fixed shop, and he's got his opening hours where it is. That is very, very smart to say that. He could come in on Sunday and do the job. So if you restrict him, that he can't really do it, then that's not allowed him to come. Yeah? That is the halachos of a kavod. And you have to be caught up with him, you have to give him, tell him a price, and which he knows that he's going to get paid for this job. He knows that he's doing a job which he's going to get paid for. So then we say that he's doing it for himself. He knows he gets a wage for it. So whenever he does it, we say he's doing it for himself. Yeah? That's the halacha of katzatz. Katzatz means either you've made the price up before you start, or even if you haven't told the shoemaker how much you're going to pay him, he's got a fixed rate and he knows how much he's going to charge you. That's also good. I mean, there's definitely a price to be paid. There's no question about it. You have to pay a price for this. In such a case like that, then that's called Kotsat, and even Somoch of Shabbos you can give it to him. You'll have to do that. That's number one. So I say all cleaners, shoemakers, car mechanics, really, that all comes into that. And therefore, you'll have to get some shuk before Shabbos, even though it might even get to a few before Shabbos. As long as you don't tend to do it on Shabbos, he can give it to you sometime next week. There's no problem with that whatsoever. That's number one. If the guy, also interesting how this, the guy is not being paid for it, he's your neighbour. He's doing it free for you, but he's doing it as a favour for you. It's also very interesting. It means he's not getting paid. He comes in to you, I'm doing my grass, and my lawnmower packs up. I'm trying to get my lawnmower working. So I'm going next door to me, he says, hey, hello, what's wrong? I said, it's broken. He says, no problem, I know how to fix lawnmowers, give it to me, I'll fix it for you. This is on Friday afternoon. Now the thing is, he might fix it on Shabbos. There, he's not getting paid for it, but the apostle would say that he's doing it to me. He owes me a favour. The fact that he's doing it is because he owes me a favour. Yeah, he wouldn't do otherwise free. He's not charging me for it, but the Maaser, he knows that there's a favour that I've done him in the past, he wants me on my good terms, so he's doing it for that reason. That's also like paying. That's also like paying, and that's also mutter. The only problem is, you see him on Shabbos doing it, that's problematic. You should stop him. I mean, I've got another Shabbos, I told you this already a long time ago, it's a different Shabbos completely. And that is when the non-Jew, this is much worse than Shabbos, I'm telling you now. Because we're talking about now, the guy takes the item home to his house and fixes it. No one knows it's mine or mine, so no one knows it's mine. I have a case where my next door neighbour, bless him, sometimes he decides to do his hedge on Shabbos afternoon. Now I've got a shared hedge. So what happens is, he wants to be on good terms, so what he does is he comes over to my side of the garden and he does my hedge as well. Is that allowed?
No.
What?
My hedge in the garden, I don't understand.
He comes to my side, Moshe, he comes to my house and he decides he wants to do my hedge. That's much worse.
You can see.
Yeah, that's much worse. There's a shy mouse side. Normally a person does work in your garden, but normally the chumah is much worse. Normally we assume that you've asked it to work. So therefore, in that case over there, I've got a second action. Very, very awkward. But you have to tell him the master can't do it. It's very, very awkward, actually. You know, I have to try and put it.
Is it Issa or Marashai? It's
Issa
as well.
Issa, I didn't ask him, didn't
he didn't ask him.
He didn't ask him. He's doing it for his own good. He's doing it for himself. He's doing it for me.
For you.
He wants to, he's not doing it for me. He wants to make good terms. He wants to do me a favour because he knows that I need a favour from him sometime. So he's a favour for me. That's what he's doing it for. He's not doing it for another reason. He's doing it for me. He's doing it because he wants to get out of a good box. That's what he's doing it for. The Meister, that is problematic. You've got to stop it. The last case, I don't know where this happens, the last case is where a case of a person where he's not expected to get paid.
Why should he get paid?
Oh, that's the question. I don't know why he's doing it. It's a question. I don't know why he's doing it. Don't be out across the toes. It's just, let's say, going to the street. Just mostly. He sees, something's broken in my house on Shabbos. He says, I'm going to come and fix it. He's not getting paid for it. He's just coming in. That's more problematic, actually. That's more problematic. He's not doing a valid fit for me. And I've got no, he's got no benefit from me. He's not going to see me. He's walking the street past me. That's the chodah worse. Now, come back to Al Shaya now, Rishi. The question is, can you give money to a non-Jew? Let's say there's a jewelry auction. Or let's talk about my case, where I started with, the car auction. The car auction is on Shabbos morning. Now, I know some very good cars going to that in that auction. So I asked my goy, a worker of mine, to go along and buy the car on my behalf. Is that allowed?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
I'm asking a goy, Rishi, can he buy a car for me at an auction on Shabbos morning? The only time they do this is on Shabbos morning. Because I can't get it during the week. The auction only works on Shabbos morning. You get the same thing with jewelry sales. There's lots of things like this. There are a lot of things that they have a special day where you can go and buy this item. Am I allowed to ask the goy to do it? That is very problematic. That is l'chayr problematic. You can't, if you can only buy it on Shabbos, there's a problem. If the Meister auction is on Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, so the goy can go either Friday or Shabbos or Sunday, it makes a difference to me. I tell you, you've got one of the days to get your car, that's much better. Then there's no issa, because the l'chayr, you don't have to go on Shabbos. But if the auction is restricted, it's only on Shabbos, then it's either on Kotsas. Kuadin, if someone has a jewelry store, for example, and he employs a goy to go around selling jewellery to places. And he tells the goy, I want to go on Shabbos to different places to go and see if you get some customers. That's problematic.
He goes himself.
Yeah. If he goes himself, what happens? He gets commission. How's it go?
Yeah, he gets commission.
You didn't tell him to go on Shabbos.
He gets commission on wages.
Sorry? I'm saying, he gets a wage wherever he is, and he gets commission. Everybody he sells, he gets a commission. It's a good question. So now he's going on Shabbos.
He's got to stop with him. He's got to stop the whole time. For a month, he's got to stop.
But you didn't tell him to stop. Fine,
no,
I would say.
No, I didn't.
That's much better. I would have thought that's much better.
Don't you? Leave it to the fellow himself to do what he wants to do.
It's up to him. He's decided himself to go on Shabbos. The chayla, it's his choice.
You didn't tell him to stop. You have to tell him not to.
The chayla, I think about it. The chayla.
Sorry, what?
The chayla, you're not going to stop him. If you tell, if the sales, if the shop, the people are only in the shop on Shabbos and you tell him to go, then that's problematic. But if you don't tend to go, and he wants to go to the corner, there's no problem. There's no problem at all. It's up to him who wants to go. That should be mutter.
Monday morning, you'll see the sales invoices.
Yeah, I understand, but no one told you didn't.
You can't say, yes, you don't go.
I don't think I can tell him not to go. I don't think you can tell him not to go. What happens if there is only a sale on Shabbos? Moshe, so you're stuck, and I say, the only auction is on Shabbos. There's an interesting ace of the Shulchan Aruch says, the main interesting ace is, you could tell the goy to go and buy the item himself. And he said to him, don't worry, John, I'll sort out with you next week. I'll sort out with you. But the goy bought it himself. So when he goes on Shabbos and he buys that item, he's not buying for you, he's buying himself. You actually told him that, don't worry, John, I'll sort out with you.
Talking very much.
Oh, so the apostle said, not only that, you can lend the money. You can even lend him the money, but it's his item. It's a bit finished, actually. So you lend him the money, but you tell him, John, this is yours. I'm going to buy it off you next week. I'm going to sort it out next week. But the buy it's your item. What happens if it gets stolen in between? That's what happens to the amount. Whose item is that? What?
Whose item is that? John's.
Passes it on to John. Even though John only bought it because he knew that you were going to buy it off him afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
But the chayra, halachically, that item belongs to John. And therefore, the chayra, that would be the case of the eights have to get round as well. So what you do is you tell the car, if you want to buy a car at the auction, what you tend to do is you buy the car yourself, and next week I'll sort out with you. I say it's a chayra, you could even give him the money up front to help him out, and he hasn't, does not pay out the money. But the chayra, that's the way to do it. That is the eights have to do it. Okay, there we go.